Welcome to the Brown Bowl Podcast. This is a podcast created for the love of food and meant to support you on a journey to making more vegan choices, no matter where you are along the way. I'm your host, Kim Sujovalski. I'm a teacher, a certified plant-based cook, and for years, I've been helping people go vegan or take more steps in that direction by teaching you how to cook delicious vegan meals, get back in the kitchen, and improve your relationship with food. So are you ready? Lace up those trainers if you're going for a walk, or grab a cup of coffee, get comfy on the couch, and listen in. Hey, everybody. Welcome back. I am so excited to be here today because we are celebrating. We are celebrating big time, and I've got lots of things to share with you. And today we're going to have an episode that is all about food and a delicious, specific dish that is so good and yummy and comforting that I thought it was the perfect choice when it comes to celebrating something. And that little thing that we're celebrating exactly today, if you're listening to this on the day in which we're posting it, we are celebrating the fact that our little baby Brown Bowl, this creature we've created for all of you, this place where our podcast hangs out and our YouTube videos and our online program hangs out and all of the countless videos that are in our online program and all of the blog posts and content, you know, that's what it all is. It's all a part of this little thing we like to call Brown Bowl. And today, it's Brown Bowl's second birthday. That's right. 2 years ago, we decided to start this journey off. Well, not exactly, because, you know, that was the day in which we launched it. So it was the first day you guys got to see it. But it actually began many months before that. And in a way, many years before that too, right? Because this is a whole journey, me and food and cooking. But it's been 2 years since we launched Brown Bowl and we put it out there in the world. And it has changed so much in these past 2 years, and so much has happened. So much of our message now includes so many other aspects besides the delicious food we get to put on the table, right? Because as you know me, and especially if you're a long-time listener of this podcast, you know that food is not just food. Our eating habits, it's not just about choosing the right foods, or if that indeed exists, you know, the right foods or the wrong foods. It's about so much more than that. And Brown Bowl has grown into this whole thing that we hadn't expected when we first launched it. And it's grown into that because of all of you. And it's grown into that specifically because the content that I've been putting out there has been creating this feedback from you guys, these letters and emails that I always mention, and how we hear from you and all of the stories that you've been sharing, because as it turns out, a lot of us are struggling with these things. A lot of us are struggling with going vegan or staying vegan, and some of us are struggling with our relationship with food and all of the other topics we talk about here in the podcast and in at Brown Bowl. And a lot of you are looking for delicious recipes and, you know, just a friendly hand in the kitchen and somebody who loves talking about food, can't stop talking about food, loves talking about ingredients and food pairings and all of those things. And, you know, Brown Bowl kind of grew from just a recipe program, an online program that shared cooking classes, in which, you know, every time I watch some of those first videos, and by first, I mean quite a few months, right? Not just the first two or three, but, you know, quite a few months of content. I was so shy in front of the camera and speaking so softly and kind of, you know, just, I don't know, slowly. It's a little bit strange to see that girl now and to see the content that I'm putting out there now. And it's all because we've grown in 2 years. We've grown into, Brown Bowl has grown into this, its very own thing, its very own little place of talking about why we love food and how it brings us together and how it can be just as delicious even if we don't use animal products in it, and how it can be a fun ride and it doesn't have to be stressful. And even if we struggle, we can learn tips and tricks to overcome all of these things. So I'm very excited today, because, and I'm very proud that we've reached this little milestone, and I know there's going to be plenty others, and I have to keep thinking of cool stuff to do on our anniversaries, on our Bramble anniversaries. And yeah, I am so excited and grateful and so happy that I recorded a little something for you that you have to go and watch, because I wanted to do it on video this time. Last year, on our first anniversary, I recorded a special 1 year anniversary podcast episode. And I told you kind of what goes on behind the scenes. And there's a little bit of that too in the video, but I just wanted you to see my face this time around. So I created a little video and I want you to go see it. I am, of course, if you go to our YouTube channel, you're going to see it right there. And you're also going to see it if you go to bramble.com, right next to this, the post that goes with this episode. So you're going to see them kind of side by side because we're releasing both of them today. And I just can't wait for you to watch it. I mean everything I say when I say that we could not do this without you guys, that you rock our worlds, that you make all of this possible, that you are the ones that have made me grow so much as a person and has made Bramble grow so much into something that's very different from how it began. And I think it's only going to continue to evolve and get better and better, and the recipes get better and better, because that's the way it is with cooking. That's why I keep telling you, you have to get in the kitchen, because the more you get in there, the better the food gets. So I hope you enjoy that little video, but I wanted to take a moment before today's episode, because since we're celebrating, we're going to be celebrating with mac and cheese, because what is better, right? But I wanted to take a moment at the top of this show to say thank you, because you make it so much fun. We wouldn't even be here if it weren't for you, honestly. So you make this possible, you make this enjoyable, you make this exciting, and you make me want to work harder and harder. And every time we create something new, the stakes are so high because I know that you're there on the other side and I want to give you the best of the best. And that's what we're going to keep doing. We're going to keep working at it because you guys rock and we appreciate your love and support and your help so much. And I am very excited that we get to celebrate today, this second year anniversary, this little Bramble birthday. I'm so, so excited. So go check out that video. You can find it at bramble.com. It's called Bramble Turns 2. And you can also find it in our YouTube channel, of course, and in your online program. It's going to be everywhere because I wanted everybody to see how grateful we are and how much we appreciate the fact that you're on the other side listening. So when it came to figure out how we were going to celebrate in the podcast, right, because we're celebrating with that video, but what were we going to do in the podcast today? Well, I thought it was time to talk about food because that's how Bramble got started. And Bramble not only got started with food, but with food that we love, food that feels comforting and homey, and things we used to love from our childhoods, and just things that make us feel good. And they just give you that very nice, warm feeling that reminds you of, you know, simpler times, I guess. And to me, that is mac and cheese. So today we're going through vegan mac and cheese basics. But before we do, as I usually do in the top of the show, I want to guide you towards our online program because we're going to be talking about cooking and cooking techniques and recipes. And of course, if you want to dive in deeper and this kind of stuff interests you, and it probably does kind of, you're kind of curious and you want to improve your cooking skills if you're listening to this particular episode, right? So it's going to be very exciting if you head on over to mybrownbowl.com. That's www.mybrownbowl.com. That's our online program, My Bramble, because it's all about the cooking. We cook so many delicious meals together. I teach you all of the basics, not only basic cooking techniques, which is a brand new series that we've been releasing recently. I help you get organized in the kitchen so that you really get, you know, cooking more at home. I give you tons of tools for, you know, navigating the social waters of being vegan and some of the difficulties you might experience. We talk about vegan nutrition. We talk about improving your relationship with food. That's a big one in the program. But most of all, we cook together and we cook the most amazing recipes But guess what? They're all in their vegan version, but it's not, you know, just like bland rabbit food. We cook the delicious goodies like the ones we're going to talk about today in this mac and cheese episode. We go through all of the basics and all of the all-time favorites and all of the comfort foods and all of the delicious treats and, you know, sure, salads and all of the wonderful, simple, fresh foods that you can make with delicious, simple ingredients. There's so much, guys. So if you're interested in cooking and you want to help, you want something to help you improve your skills in the kitchen, head on over to mybrownbowl.com and check out our trailer. You're going to learn a ton of what is included in the program by watching that little video that you'll find at the top of that page. So go check that out. And now finally, without further ado, we're going to talk mac and cheese. So, you know, last week was dedicated to teens who are trying to make more vegan choices or who have gone vegan when perhaps their family doesn't want to make this change. So it was part two of our vegan teen series. If you didn't listen in, I highly recommend it. If you have any vegan teens that you know or any teens that are maybe considering it, maybe send it their way. It's a pretty cool episode that was dedicated to them in which I speak specifically to them. So, you know, this got me thinking about my teenage years and how even when I started cooking, because I started cooking in my, I don't know, yeah, when I was around 15, 16, I started cooking earlier, but this is when like I seriously started cooking. So I, even though I was cooking incredible goodies back then, opening a box of mac and cheese and ripping open that cheese powder packet, it just gave me such a thrill. You know, I could cook, I could make all of these delicious goodies, but mac and cheese was one of my favorite foods, and I had an endless supply of the box stuff in the pantry, always. And, you know, nowadays you can even find the same boxed equivalent with the orange packet and all in its vegan version. But just in case you're like me and you live in an area where some of these products aren't available, we have tons of vegan products in Spain, but mac and cheese is just not part of the culture here. Sadly, they're so missing out, right? So it's not something that's easy to find. Or if you're also like me and you love making stuff at home from scratch because cooking is fun, right? You know, no matter what the case is, and even if you can find the box stuff, but you just want to learn how to make it at home, today we're having a vegan mac and cheese architecture class. And yes, vegan mac and cheese architecture is a thing. I think. Well, it is according to me anyways. And we're going to cover all the basics, everything you need to know, you know. There are so many mac and cheese recipes out there, guys, that you can follow any one and get pretty good results. There are some very good mac and cheese recipes out there. But you know me and how my teacher brain works. I have this teacher brain that is right next to my regular brain, and I can't stop it. I can't make it shut up. So I have to teach you the basics so that you can understand mac and cheese and breathe mac and cheese and cook mac and cheese and love mac and cheese. And yes, we are doing it all without dairy cheese. And we're also doing it in many cases without the vegan kind of cheese either. So it's going to get pretty interesting. And, you know, just this is just in case you don't have access to vegan cheeses or they're out of your budget right now. They're expensive where you live, or you don't have any in the house when you suddenly get, you know, a vegan mac attack. It hits you like a ton of bricks and you just need to have some right now. So for all of these cases, we're going to make some, definitely some with cheeses, vegan cheeses, but many without. And it's going to be pretty cool. There are so many ways to make vegan mac and cheese. And today I'm going to teach you some basics so that you can feel inspired to create your own recipes at home. Or, you know, just whip up a batch without measuring anything. You know that this is my favorite way of cooking, right? Because then you don't have to wash the measuring cups at the end. What could be better? And sure, I'm also going to give you my favorite recipes for all of the different techniques that I'm mentioning. Not our own recipes, although you definitely have a delicious creamy mac and cheese in our online program, but also other people's recipes, because I've tried some awesome vegan mac and cheese recipes and they're out there. Recipes are out there for anybody to try. And I also have to keep in mind my lovely YouTube viewers. we will create another mac and cheese recipe for the YouTube channel at some point soon too. But if you're a member of our online program, you have it there waiting for you. It's awesome. Okay, so let's talk architecture, right? Mac and cheese architecture 101. First thing that we need to kind of make sure that we're doing right is we need the right kind of pasta. What does this mean? This means one that can hold a bit of the sauce so that when you bite into it, you get that burst of cheesy creaminess. It's so yum, right? Macaroni is, of course, the traditional choice, but I also love elbow pasta and penne pasta and shells, etc. You know, any short pasta that is hollow and that allows for some of the sauce to kind of hide in there and then come out and yell, surprise, when you bite into it. You know what I'm talking about, right? And, you know, now you can find many gluten-free varieties of pastas if you have a gluten intolerance too, so that's an option. And now you can even find pastas made from lentils and beans. And I mean, any type of pasta that you love and that is hollow for a little bit of that sauce to get in, that's going to be great. So whatever you like and whatever you have, that's going to work just fine. That's number one, right? Right kind of pasta. Second point in our mac and cheese architecture is we need ingredients that will provide a creamy base. So depending, I'm going to tell you about a lot of options a little further along in the episode, but you need one or several ingredients, and these can range from vegetables to pre-soaked cashews or other nuts and seeds. You know, certain ingredients that once they're cooked or soaked, they can be blended up to provide the cream base for your mac. In some cases, we don't need to use these because we use a simple roux, and this is going to give us our creamy base. But I'm going to give you all the scoop of what a roux is in a second. But, you know, that's something that we need. We need some ingredients that are going to provide that creamy base, just in case we're not going the roux route, right? Another thing that is very important for vegan mac and cheese, we need nutritional yeast. You know, nutritional yeast is a thing of, I don't know, the thing dreams are made of. It's so fantastic. Nutritional yeast is a deactivated form of yeast, so it's not the type that you would use to make bread or pizza dough or, you know, anything like that. It's just a deactivated form of yeast that you can find in many supermarkets or stores these days, or you can order it online if you don't find it in the store near where you live. It has this wonderful, naturally cheesy flavor. It has a yellow color, and it's kind of like these little flakes. And it has a massive, and I mean massive, boost of vitamins and minerals and protein. A lot of people don't know that it's a great source of protein. And, you know, basically the person who discovered it deserves quite a few gold stars, right? And although you can make mac and cheese without it, it really makes a difference. It really does. And it's what adds that delicious cheesy flavor. And it provides tons of nutrition, even some vitamin B12 in the case of some brands that are fortified with that. So pretty cool. Okay, what else do we need for our vegan architecture? We need a liquid, right? We need a liquid that will help to either create a roux, which We're getting there soon, I promise. Or that will help blend up our vegetables or our nuts or seeds, and that is going to help, you know, cream up those things for our creamy base. This liquid can be anything from water to veggie broth, non-dairy milk, and even some of the pasta cooking water sometimes. Sometimes that can work. And yeah, so we need a liquid. What else do we need? Very important. We need seasonings and spices. And I'm not just talking about salt and pepper and paprika and things like that. I'm talking about different components. I'm going to give you my favorites in a second. Different components that are going to add lots of flavor and sometimes also a little color and just a great pop of flavor to our mac and cheese. You know, just as with traditional mac and cheese, we need spices and seasonings to make it really savory and satisfying, right? So here are some of my favorites. Salt, of course, black pepper, white pepper, which works really well with mac and cheese, especially if you used to like, do you remember this boxed type of mac and cheese that was the kind of like the white cheddar variety? I was a big fan. I think the original one best, but this was almost as good. It was very different. Well, white pepper really helps kind of give you a hint of that. And it's pretty cool if you add it to your mac and cheese. I love it. Onion powder will also help with this. Garlic powder. Mustard powder is great in mac and cheese. Paprika, cayenne pepper if you want a little kick. Nutmeg can also be delicious if you're making a creamy base. Remember, with nutmeg, a little, like a very little goes a long way. Lemon juice is another. Do you see why I'm not only talking about like the powdered spices, like the dried spices? Lemon juice is another thing that can give us a little tang for that cheesy sauce. Tomato paste is another one that it will help thicken things up. It will help add a nice color, and it helps add a little bit of acidity to it if you don't like the lemon juice, or sometimes you can use them together too. Dijon mustard, in my opinion, also adds great flavor, like really great depth of flavor. And another option is tamari soy sauce or liquid aminos, and that's also going to add umami and just, I don't know, just another layer, right? And also another option is a little bit of agave or some kind of sweetener. Not for all recipes, but some recipes call for these. And that's pretty much, I think, the basics. If you start experimenting with different combinations of these until you find your favorites, you're going to find your own way to make your own mac and cheese. And of course, you can follow any of the recipes that I'm going to give you in the post that goes with this episode so that you can, you know, if you want to follow a precise recipe, you can do that. You're going to see many of these seasonings that I mentioned in those recipes. All right, next up when it comes to architecture for mac and cheese. Some of us love mac and cheese casseroles. That's what you think of when you think of mac and cheese. Am I right? So we need a topping if we're going the casserole route. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, you know, I understand, because those of us who grew up on, you know, mixing together the box stuff and just grabbing a fork, we might not know that many people love the casserole version of mac and cheese. And in this version, basically what happens is after your mac and cheese is ready and mixed with the sauce and it's all ready to go, it is placed in a casserole dish. It's topped with some good crunchy stuff on top, and it's popped in the oven and is cooked until it's browned and very gooey and bubbly. And some great toppings, if this is what you love, because many people grew up eating mac and cheese this way, not almost out of the box like I did. But I also love the casserole variety. In fact, the recipe you have in our online program for creamy mac and cheese, it includes both options, the, you know, ready to eat version and the goes in the oven casserole version. So some great toppings, if you love this version, are panko breadcrumbs. That's one of my favorites. These are Japanese breadcrumbs. You can find them in Asian stores and now almost in any supermarket in the Asian section. You can use regular breadcrumbs. You can use ground almonds mixed with a little bit of sea salt. And you could even put, you know, this isn't crunchy, but you could put some bechamel or grated vegan cheese that gets nice and bubbly and stretchy in the oven. And this is going to create kind of like that toasted top, even though it's not crunchy. So these sound like a dream, right? They all sound so good. And these are all optional, by the way. You can skip this. This is a part of the architecture that only works if you really want to do the casserole version. If not, you can skip. You can skip this, but try it. Maybe you will love it. And it all depends on how you like your mac, right? Okay, last stop in our architecture section, right? The last little thing is something I have to apologize for. A lot of you are going to get angry at me, and I'm sorry, but we need little trees. Yeah, you heard me. We need little trees. And yes, I mean, no, I'm not here to ruin the cheesy fun, okay? I'm not here to ruin the party. But let's add a little boost of calcium in the form of broccoli florets. Those are the little trees. But not only because of the calcium, that part is great, but that's not exactly why I add it. I just think it goes amazingly well with mac and cheese. You know, I mean, there are plenty of nutritional benefits to adding these. They provide, you know, broccoli has protein and broccoli has calcium and vitamins and minerals and all of these great things that vegetables have, and especially green vegetables. But mac and cheese is better with broccoli, you guys. It's just better with broccoli. If you have picky eaters at home, this might be the only way they eat their broccoli, right? With cheese. You can, you know, just get both things over with. You give them their cheese, you give them their mac, and you give them their broccoli all in one sitting. What could be greater? So alternatively, we can also use Brussels sprouts, which are also great. But I mean, the broccoli just works. And here, all you have to do is add it to the pasta while it's cooking. So when the pasta is almost done, when it's almost ready, add in the broccoli florets, and then it's going to kind of cook really quickly in that hot boiling water just for a few seconds or a few minutes, a couple of minutes. And once the pasta is ready, your broccoli is going to be ready. You drain everything and then you mix it with the sauce. And boom, you've got calcium boost. And this is why I love it. Lots of little crevices where the cheese can hide and come out at the perfect moment. I keep saying that mac and cheese is all about that surprise moment in which a whole bunch of cheese comes bursting out, hopefully not burning your tongue. But that's what I'm talking about. Broccoli has little tiny spaces for that cheese to get in. It's awesome. That's why a lot of people cover broccoli with cheese. So yeah, we need little trees. You can tell yourself it's for the calcium because you're going to get it anyway, but it's really because it works in mac and cheese architecture. Okay, so that's when it comes to kind of the basics. Now let's discuss the different techniques for mac and cheese, because all roads lead to mac and cheese heaven. That's what I like to say. And we're going to go through many options and routes we can take when we want to create mac and cheese at home, other than buying the box stuff, which is of course also an option if you're pressed for time, right? But I'm talking about making it from scratch at home. So let's talk about the first one. The first one is where the French come in, right? The French invented mac and cheese without knowing it. Don't tell them that, because they might get a little bit offended. I don't know why, but I could see maybe a couple of French people thinking that they did not invent mac and cheese, and what is that? But they kind of did. And this technique in particular, this is what I call the roux and cheese technique. And the roux, that's the, you know, that's where the French come in. And I've been teasing about it, but here is what it is if you don't know what it is. A roux is one of those things next to croissants that we can thank the French for. And it's basically a fancy way of talking about a combination of flour and fat over heat, so in a pan, that is used to begin a recipe that you wish to thicken. So it's a way we start many stews and most gravies and pan sauces, right? And it's, of course, the quickest and the easiest of the vegan mac and cheese methods. I'm going to give you many methods. This is, I think, the simplest and the easiest. When I'm pressed for time, this is what I do. And it's pretty cool. Now, the amount of fat and flour traditionally is equal parts in weight, right? Equal parts in weight of fat and flour, which is why it sometimes isn't equivalent in recipes, one to the other. But you can pretty much get away with using equal parts and having a good result. The difference is very small. So that's a good way to remember, right? And so here's what you do. You start by melting some non-dairy butter in a pan. You add the flour. You stir frequently. This is very important. You stir frequently to cook the kind of starchy flavor off of it. And then you, as soon as that's done, this is a very fast process, you add a liquid while whisking very vigorously, okay? You have to be whisking so that you don't have a whole bunch of lumps. And this can be non-dairy milk. This liquid can be non-dairy milk, vegetable broth, water, or a combination. And it's incredible because you are going to see what this turns into. It's pretty magical. And what happens next is then you add seasonings, all the seasonings you like, the ones we talked about, right? You can add the nutritional yeast, of course, and any of the others that we discussed, right? I don't know, the garlic powder or the mustard powder or the tomato paste, anything you like. But you can also just get away with nutritional yeast and some vegan cheese shreds, and you just melt them. And the cheese is optional because you're still going to be able to get a nice cheesy sauce even if you don't have vegan cheese, but you've got to season it according to your liking. And what happens next is you let this mixture thicken until it's creamy, and then you toss it with your pasta and you serve. And it couldn't be easier. It happens really, really fast, so you have to kind of keep a watchful eye on the pot so that it doesn't kind of scorch in the bottom or you don't burn that flour and fat in the beginning. But it's pretty easy. It's so easy to make. And if you've ever watched many of my pan sauces and gravy sauces, begin with this method. So you can take a look if, you know, in our recipe section or in our online program. A great recipe to try to practice this particular method is Chef Chloe's super simple mac and cheese. And I think her website is chefchloe.com, but I am giving you the link to the specific recipe. Chef Chloe's mac and cheese is amazing. It's really simple, very few ingredients. She tests her recipes so well that they almost always turn out fantastic. So go check that one out if you want a specific one. Okay, now let's talk about another method, sweet potato or butternut squash mac and cheese. In this method, sweet potatoes, pumpkin, or butternut squash will serve as the base for our creamy texture. And what you do is you start by cooking the sweet potato or the pumpkin or the butternut squash, either by steaming it or roasting it. Roasting is my favorite way because it retains the most flavors. But what you want is to get it tender, right? And once it's tender, you add it to a blender. And then you're going to blend it with a liquid. Don't go overboard with the liquid. Just do it slowly. Add as much as you need to get a rich, creamy consistency, right? So that you can see the blender running. And that's all the amount that you're going to need. You're going to add nutritional yeast and all of the spices or seasonings that you've chosen. And then you add it back to the pot, warm it through, and you toss it with the pasta. It's pretty easy. I'm just telling you the basics, guys. Recipes have more details to them and more things you can include and, you know, different versions that you can make. But this is just so that you understand kind of the basics and play around with them. But of course, I'm also including a recipe that you can try for this particular method. And again, I'm talking about Chef Chloe, and it's Chef Chloe's sweet potato mac and cheese, which looked amazing. All right, cashew mac and cheese. I love cashew mac and cheeses. It's one of my favorite methods. And this method uses cashews that you've soaked in water the night before or for at least 4 hours. And it sounds like an extra step that you have to think about, but you don't have to actively do anything. You just let them soak in water covered, right? And that's it. You can leave them in the fridge and let that kind of get going. But if this just sounds like it's not going to work for you, you can omit this waiting time if you have a high-powered blender like a Vitamix, for example, or you can also cheat and boil the cashews for 10 to 15 minutes. I think that it doesn't get as tender as the overnight soak, but you can get pretty close. And if you have a good blender, definitely it'll work. So again, you start by pre-soaking your cashews, as I mentioned, and you drain them from the liquid they soaked in. That's important. You don't use the same liquid. And then you add all of these drained cashews, which are going to be kind of mushy to the touch, right? They're going to be softer. It's kind of spongy. And you add them to a blender. Then you add your liquid. And remember, this can be non-dairy milk. It can be preferably non-dairy milk or vegetable broth because they're going to have some flavor and some richness to it. You can also add water or a combination. And you just let that run until you have a creamy consistency. And remember, you're blending up those cashews, which already are going to create a cream. So in this case, water, it's fine. Use a little bit of water. Again, just enough to get it creamy. You don't want a runny mess, right? So don't go overboard. Just go slowly, let the machine run, and let it get really creamy, so not grainy, right? And you want them completely pureed and smooth. And then what you do is you add this to a pot to warm it through. You add in your nutritional yeast, all of the seasonings and spices that you've chosen, and you toss it with your pasta. Remember, those seasonings can be lemon juice, even lime juice, salt, pepper, white pepper, garlic powder, onion powder, mustard powder, What else did I mention? Tomato paste, Dijon mustard. There are so many. Those were my favorites, but you can add cayenne pepper. You can add, so many options, right? Chilies. I could talk about the options forever. So you just toss with your pasta and you're going to have a delicious creamy mac. Now, I've chosen, two different recipes for you to try. One is our creamy mac and cheese for the members of our online program. You're going to love that one. And another one, in case you're not a member, is the butternut squash and cashew mac and cheese by Veggie Inspired Journey. And remember, I'm linking to all of these videos and recipes in the post that goes with this episode. So you can just Google Brown Bowl mac and cheese and you're going to find the post, or use our search bar at brownbowl.com. That also works. All right. That was cashew mac and cheese. Now let's talk about the easiest and cheapest version, which includes carrots and potatoes. I mean, what's easier than carrots and potatoes, right? The best thing about carrots and potatoes is that you almost always have them in the house. So you don't have to go out of your way to go buy something to make your mac and cheese. You can have this anytime. And, you know, just as we did with the sweet potatoes and the butternut squash, this option is very, very simple because, you have these in your kitchen probably, right? And we start by steaming or boiling our carrots and potatoes. Do not go overboard. This is important. Don't go overboard with the amount of carrots that you're going to add. You know, the ratio of carrots to potatoes, it has to be more potatoes than carrots. That's basically what I'm saying. Because carrots can really, especially cooked carrots, boiled or steamed, they can really overpower a dish. The carrots are simply there to meant to add, you know, extra nutrients and a little bit of color and also the texture, but not too much of that flavor. We don't want that overpowering the dish. What you're going to do next is once they're tender, you add them to a food processor or a blender along with the liquid of your choice. Remember, the non-dairy milk or a bit of the pasta cooking liquid or veggie broth is great, or a combination. You add your nutritional yeast, a bit of tomato paste, a bit of lemon juice, and any of your other favorite spices or seasonings. And you blend until it's really, really creamy. And then you warm it up in a pan, you toss it with your pasta, and it's ready. And this, by the way, is also a great cheese dip. You can use it to dip in vegetables or tortillas, or you can add this to potato skins if you're making potato skins, anything like that. It's pretty cool. And there are so many recipes out there, but a great recipe to try is the creamy vegan mac and cheese by Vegan Yumminess. She uses the carrots and potatoes version for this version, so it's going to be pretty cool. You can practice. Okay, next version is cauliflower mac and cheese. And we're almost done with our list of methods. But yeah, cauliflower mac and cheese, it's kind of becoming really trendy. Cauliflower is so trendy now. I'm very unlucky because Carlos hates cauliflower. I have to hide it or do weird stuff to it so he doesn't see it or taste it or smell it. I mean, he has this, he has cauliflower radar. He has cauliflower radar, and he can tell when I open the fridge if there's cauliflower even if it's locked inside a Tupperware container, he can tell. He hates it. And so I'm not very lucky because he just recognizes it, even when I don't tell him it's in there. I wish I could make more stuff with cauliflower because I really like it. But yeah, cauliflower mac and cheese. Cauliflower is very trendy now because people are making rice with it. People are making buffalo style cauliflower with, you know, buffalo barbecue sauce and those kinds of things, hot sauce. And so many other things. Now cauliflower pizza crust is a thing and so many. But with mac and cheese especially, it can give you a great result because cauliflower gets so tender that it's perfect. It's a perfect creamy base. So just as we did with our previous veggie-based creams for mac and cheese, cauliflower is going to be the base for this method. We start by cooking the cauliflower until it's tender, and my favorite method is always going to be roasting. Roasting is the way to do it with cauliflower. Don't even try any other method. It's just the best. It just makes the flavors pop and shine, and the sugars just get nice, and they really shine through. It's unbelievable. And once it's really tender, you add the cooked cauliflower to a food processor. You add your liquid of choice. You add any of the spices and seasonings that you've chosen to use. You add nutritional yeast and you blend. And then you just warm it up and you toss it with your pasta. Now, please remember, guys, when I'm saying liquid of choice, spices, seasonings, that kind of stuff, there are many ways in which you could, you know, experiment and not have it turn out the way you like. Just keep trying. Just keep tweaking. Once you're there in the kitchen cooking and you have it in front of you, if you don't like it, add a little more of this or of that. See if it needs a little more acidity or a little more saltiness or a little extra nutritional yeast or something else to give it a boost. Start experimenting. I always tell you, start cooking by instinct a little bit because it's going to help you so much in the kitchen to cook quickly, and especially during the week. It's pretty cool. Now, a great recipe to try. I've chosen two for this one because they both looked incredibly well, and one is by someone I trust with my eyes closed, and that is Vegan Risha. This is Vegan Risha's black pepper mac and cheese, and it looks so scrumptious, made with cauliflower. Or you can also try vegan cauliflower mac and cheese by Vegan Insanity, which also looked amazing. If you saw these photos, you would just be heading right over to grab some cauliflower. Oh my goodness. All of these macs in all of these recipes, they looked incredible. But it's time to talk about the last one, because we had a pretty long episode last week, and this week I wanted to give something short and sweet and yummy. And we're gonna get right into the last one, which is quick and easy, a quick and easy mac and cheese using vegan cheeses. This is the roux technique, which I mentioned, is I think the one I usually go to when I'm pressed for time. But this one is even quicker because we're gonna cheat. There's even a way to cheat the roux. And I'm going to tell you what that is. So if you have some vegan cheeses at home and you want to use them in your mac and cheese can be as simple as, you know, blending together some ingredients and adding tons of flavor in the form of aromatics and spices and additions like chilies or garlic or roasted garlic, peppers, anything you like. Or you can do it plain old classic style, right? So here's what you can do for this quick and easy version. We sweat some garlic in a pan, very low heat, right? Just until it gets nice and fragrant, don't burn it. And we add non-dairy milk and a slurry of either cornstarch or arrowroot powder and a bit of water. So a slurry is basically you grab a little small, like, dish, like where you would dip sushi into soy sauce, something like that, like a very small container. That's going to be kind of your measure there, or a measuring cup, anything at all like that. You add a little bit of water and you add some cornstarch or arrowroot powder and you whisk it very well together. This is called a slurry. And what that prevents is you adding the whole clunk of cornstarch into your sauce and it becoming like lumpy, right? So this slurry technique is going to thicken up something, skipping the roux technique. The roux is the traditional way to do it. This is the cheating way. So you make that little slurry, you add it to your sauce, and it's going to thicken it in just seconds. Well, yeah, or a minute. It's really, really fast. And yeah, but you do have to mix it with a little bit of water beforehand before you add it. You add that to that, you know, you had your garlic sweating in the pan and the non-dairy milk, and you add that slurry. You add all of your seasonings and your nutritional yeast and spices and any additions that you love. And we cook this until the sauce has thickened a bit, right? It's going to happen fairly quickly. Then you add grated vegan cheese, and cheddar style or Parmesan style work great because they have kind of the strongest flavors. And once these are melted, we're going to blend the sauce in a blender. to make sure that it's creamy and very smooth. This isn't necessary, but I really recommend it because if we have the garlic there, or you used onions, or you used chilies, or any other things in the sauce, which is going to make it delicious, we want to make sure that it's blended together and that that garlic is really combined with the sauce, with that cheesy sauce. And it's pretty cool. Once you've blended it up and you warm it up, you toss it with your pasta, and that is it. And for this one, I left one of my favorite recipe creators for last, and I'm talking about Minimalist Baker. And her recipe is called The Best Vegan Gluten-Free Mac and Cheese, and it uses this kind of technique. She has a different approach to it. The order in which she does things is slightly different from the one I just mentioned, but it's basically the same thing. So I thought it was pretty cool to offer another perspective on how to make this a quick and easy version using the slurry instead of using the roux. And that's pretty much it. Do you see how many options we have when it comes to mac and cheese? And what better day to have some delicious mac and cheese and celebrate from wherever it is that you're at right now than Bramble's second birthday? I mean, if not today, right? You know, there are just so many delicious options to choose from, guys. Start making some mac and cheese at home if this is a dish that you love. There's no reason why you have to say goodbye to cheesy goodness when you go vegan. There's no reason whatsoever. Even if you don't have access to vegan cheese, you can enjoy your mac and cheese and love it and make it and have, you know, make it for the people that you love who used to love it before. And you can show people that you can still have all your favorites even when you're vegan. So it's pretty cool. Now, I want to know what kind of mac and cheese you loved eating as a kid, because I know you had some. I knew you had some. What kid didn't? It was the coolest thing. And I also want to ask you, I want you to tell me, if you have a favorite way of making this dish and it's vegan version. So go leave the comments in the post that goes with this episode. You have to go there anyway because you have to check out these incredible recipes from all these amazing blogs, and you have to go cook and make some mac and cheese. So that's it, guys. I told you, sweet, short, delicious. That's how we're celebrating Bramble's second birthday today. So again, I can't thank you enough. I hope you start cooking immediately. Cook some cheesy goodness. You can invite me over. And also, thank you for being there. Please go watch that video. I don't want to spoil it and get all mushy right now here because I do it all in the video. And I really thank you from the bottom of my heart to have you there on the other side. And thank you so much for listening to this episode today. Now, please remember that if you want to support our podcast and give us a little 2-year anniversary present, right? Because we're in this together. You can leave us a little rating and review on iTunes or on Stitcher, and we would be eternally grateful because this is what helps us reach more people, because people find us when they type in things like vegan or vegan recipes or vegan food or dieting or any of these topics that we discuss, body image, any of these things we talk about in the Bramble podcast that people need to hear, right? I think we have a different perspective on many of these, and I feel that it's important. We want to reach a lot of people. So you help us do that by leaving us ratings and reviews. And it's really easy. You can do this from the podcast app on your phone by searching for Bramble in the little search icon and going to our podcast. And there, if you scroll down, you'll see where to leave the review. I think it says reviews or write a review, and you click that and you can leave it. And you can also do the same thing by using your iTunes in the computer. You type in Bramble in the search bar, go to the podcast and click write a review, and you leave it there. I will be so grateful, guys. And again, thank you so, so, so much for being on the other end of this adventure that we call Bramble. Now, I normally end these episodes by saying that we'll see each other next week on Thursday, which is our little date at the Bramble podcast. But next week, something different is happening, and we're not going to be able to post a podcast episode. So next week, you can go back. We have so many episodes waiting for you. You can go back and listen to some of, you know, your old-time favorites, or check out some that perhaps you haven't heard before. We're going to have tons of content in the online program and on Bramble.com. You've got so much in our YouTube channel. You've got lots of things to tide you over. So next Thursday, we will not have an episode, but we will be back in 2 weeks. I promise. So not next Thursday, but the following Thursday. And we'll have so many more goodies coming soon. So I'll see you in a couple weeks on Thursday, because that's our little date at the Ramble Podcast. Thanks so much, guys. Have a great week and weekend ahead. And I'll see you soon. Bye-bye.